I am joined by my buddy and banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So there's an inferno underway. Ronan Farrow's book on what happened to his Harvey Weinstein story, in part about that, at NBC News, something many people have been wondering for a long time. That book is about to be out, but there are excerpts that we had one at The Hollywood Reporter, and various other media outlets are picking up aspects of what's in this book. The stuff about NBC News, if you believe everything that Ronan Farrow is saying, is very damning. He basically says they slow walked his story to death, and he creates a case. He doesn't have an absolute smoking gun proof that they were being held hostage in a way by Harvey Weinstein and his allies because of dirt about Matt Lauer. And of course, there is a rape allegation against Matt Lauer in this book, which he has angrily denied, saying everything was consensual. But, you know, I think it's kind of clear overall that Matt Lauer is not a good guy and did things. And so he was fired for that reason. NBC has called his behavior horrible and awful, and they fired him. Now, if you believe Ronan Farrow, they buckled because of threats from Weinstein and his allies. Now, on the other hand, NBC is saying that's not true. We didn't think Ronan had the goods. And I will mention, I was speaking to him in real time when he was doing this story for NBC. I was trying to help him because if he was going to get there, I wanted him to get there with Harvey Weinstein. We'd been trying to do it for a long time. He told me that he was becoming less and less confident that they were going to go forward. And then the story ultimately gets published, not only in The New Yorker with Ronan Farrow's reporting, but a day or so before that, a couple of days, in The New York Times. So if, as NBC News is saying, the story was not gettable, it's kind of remarkable because it was gotten by two different outlets.
Yeah, and somebody is lying here, obviously, because the version of events in Ronan Farrow's book is very different from the version of events that NBC paints. And they say, you know, yes, The New Yorker ultimately ran that story, but when they were vetting it months earlier, he wasn't there. He didn't have a single person on the record. So the interesting thing here is this notion of the Matt Lauer dirt, because if NBC allowed itself to be leveraged, essentially, by Harvey Weinstein to kill a story in order to protect the biggest star at the network.
Yes, and AMI, the publisher of the National Enquirer, which also had dirt.
If true, that is a massive journalism scandal, and a scandal where people would have to be fired. You know, it does come down to a he said between Andy Lack and Ronan Farrow.
Andy Lack is the chairman of NBC News.
Yes. But what's interesting here is that in this book, there are seven different allegations against Matt Lauer. And NBC is sticking to its position that it didn't know anything about Matt Lauer's alleged behavior until the day before they fired him. And reading that, it really just is beyond the pale to me. If this was such a widespread problem and there were payouts and there were HR inquiries and things like that with Matt Lauer, the fact that the leadership didn't know about it is tough for me to believe.
The alleged rape victim apparently told her supervisor about this. So yes, it's hard to believe. Now, the question is, does Andy Lack, who has been very controversial for things like bringing back Brian Williams after he had misrepresented certain anecdotes, and especially paying a fortune to Megyn Kelly to be completely miscast in a talk show in the morning, he is a controversial guy in this. And I will note that, you know, I think the feeling at NBC Uni after all of this time was that maybe it's time for Andy Lack to go into a nice retirement and to be replaced by Noah Oppenheim. But the question is, does Noah Oppenheim survive? Because he doesn't get painted all that well in Ronan Farrow's piece either in his book. He is wishy-washy. He says people didn't know who Harvey Weinstein was, so is it really that interesting? He didn't want to deal with the tape that Ronan Farrow obtained of this model who recorded herself being sexually harassed by Harvey Weinstein. A lot of questionable calls. And I will note he did a call with staff on the 10th of October, starting out saying, there is not a question I'm afraid to answer. And the staff is very exercised, did have a lot of questions. And fast forward, he declined to directly answer a question about why Andy Lack was not at the meeting. And then he declined. He was asked, did you know that there were criminal allegations against Matt Lauer? And he didn't answer that either. Confidential, can't talk about it. So I mean, I think they'll cling to Noah Oppenheim, and eventually Andy Lack will ride into the sunset, maybe sooner than he would have otherwise. But I think this is a crisis at NBC, and I really don't know how they're going to reconstruct. You know, their credibility has been hurt.
Yeah, I don't know that they fire people. I think there are a lot of smoking-ish guns in this book, but there is no actual smoking gun that says this story was killed for this reason. So, you know, and I also don't think NBC wants to give Ronan Farrow the pleasure of,
definitely not.
of getting these guys fired.
There'll be a decent interval if Andy Lack leaves. It'll be like, wait a few minutes, 10, 9, 8, goodbye.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not inside their head. I don't know. But it definitely doesn't look good. And it just is bringing up a lot of this stuff that NBC would prefer to have in the rearview mirror.
Absolutely. Now, let me turn to a story I reported this past week. Sony Pictures is talking to Netflix about buying their Masters of the Universe film. And, you know, this turned out first to be just almost a sort of a curiosity because Paramount has started to make some films exclusively for Netflix and for Sony to do it. And these are the two studios that aren't part of a mega media company. You know, Disney is obviously one, Warner Media, NBC Uni, or Comcast. So these two studios, these Paramount and Sony, have been more challenged about how to even date their movies with the Disney juggernaut taking up the whole calendar. So it seems like a thing, you know, that Sony might consider selling this thing that they spent years developing. On the other hand, it turned out, you know, this is a trend. And even a company like Warner Brothers, which has HBO Max and its own streaming service, may do this because what's happening is studios are looking at all the stuff they developed and realizing that in this world, it's not getting theatrical releases and they need to figure out how to make money.
Or worse, it is getting theatrical releases under the old model, and it's flopping because it's going up against some Disney pre-branded blockbuster franchise that a regular old movie cannot compete with.
Yeah, they're trying to get away from that, yeah.
Right, so they're thinking, okay, we have our franchises, we have the movies that we think that we can market for a price like horror or comedy, and then we have this other bucket of movies that are increasingly not viable business enterprises in the theatrical universe. Why not just make them for Netflix? They'll pay us a price. They're desperate for content and we can make our numbers for the year and still have a business while also putting our real resources into the theatrical releases that can actually make money.
Yeah, they don't have to market these things at that point. They have guaranteed profit because they just get a number. If the movie is a huge hit, you feel really, really bad. And especially with something like Masters of the Universe, which could be a franchise and everybody wants a franchise. But Netflix has She-Ra series and an upcoming Kevin Smith animated series. So they're in the master, that ballpark. And of course, Mattel, they told me, oh, we just want to make a really, really good movie. And we're not that concerned about toy sales, but I think they are.
The danger here is that you're propping up Netflix with this content, which, you know, you're feeding that beast that has overtaken Hollywood over the past few years. And I think a lot of the television companies may regret some of the decisions they made 5-6 years ago to license content to Netflix that helped build their subscriber base to the point where they have a huge lead over all the other streamers now. Are we going to have the same questions being posed in a few years? Why did we sell movies to Netflix again? You know, what were we doing there? But for now, it's easy money.
It's a way to make money. And of course, I was told, you know, people hated Netflix for becoming this giant thing, this Death Star. But now they feel like, as one rep said to me, let's join them. We can't beat them. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Coming up after a short break, I step out on Matt with a different banter buddy, analyst Rich Greenfield. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.